Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, this morning I'm going to try and address three questions that are related questions. And I just must say, I really appreciate those of you who turned in questions for me to address in this series. Here are three questions, and they're all related. Ready? Question number one, why did God create the world? Well, that's a big question. Question two, why did God create sin? Question three, why did God make angels? All right. Those are good questions. So let's talk about it. First of all, why did God create the world? You want a bunch of theological dancing, or do you want me just to give you a straight, clear answer? How about a straight, clear answer? God created the world because He wanted to. The Bible doesn't explain God's reasons for creation. What the Bible does make clear is that God did this because it was His sovereign choice. And let me give you a scripture along that line. Revelation 4:11 tells us that God is worthy of praise, and one of the reasons says, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Another way of translating that, "and by your will," is for your pleasure. God did it because He wanted to. Well, doesn't there have to be some reason beyond that? Well, look in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 15 and following, where we read about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Now, there's a lot more in that passage than the answer to your question, but the answer to your question is in that passage. God created everything. He did it for His pleasure. He did it because He chose to. And it says here, He did it for Jesus. Things were created by Jesus for Jesus. The Son of God is not just the Creator God, He is the reason for the creation. Everything that exists, exists for Him. And so we might tend to see Jesus as part of the big picture, but that's not the way it works. Jesus is the reason for the big picture. Everything else is derived from Him and is for Him. So was God lonely and that's why he made angels and people and so forth? Absolutely not. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that God didn't need anything. Still doesn't. God doesn't need something. Every now and then I hear a disgraceful sermon by somebody preaching that, you know, God wants to do these things, but he just can't do it without your help. You are his hands, you are his feet. Well, we are his hands and his feet, but let me tell you, he made us. So it's not like he's waiting and saying, oh, what'll I do? I just can't get cooperation here. I have all these plans and people won't cooperate, so I don't know what to do. I'm just totally frustrated here. That's not the way it works. God does not need us. God has chosen to make us and give us life, and it is because of him that we live and move and have our being. But that's because that was God's choice. Now, in line with that, why did God create sin? That's the next question that was asked. And the answer is, he didn't. Well, I thought you just said he created all things. He did. Well, are you saying sin doesn't exist? No, I'm saying that sin is a derivative. It is an expression of things going wrong. But that's not because God made them go wrong. It is because as part of God's creation, he gave people the capacity to choose. He made us as humans in his likeness. And part of that likeness of God was the capacity for us to choose. And he put our first parents, Adam and Eve, in a paradise, absolutely perfect place. I mean, there was nothing wrong there. It was beautiful. Everything that they could need was there. And God had given them instructions about what to do. And yet, in the midst of that paradise, there was one thing they were told they must not do. Do not eat the fruit of that tree, for in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. So lo and behold, what did they do? They ate the fruit of that tree. They had the capacity for choice. They were not bent towards sin at that point. We are. We're born with a bent towards sin. We're born with a sin nature, a warped nature that inclines us to do the wrong thing. Adam and Eve didn't have that. They were innocent. They weren't virtuous. There is a difference. Virtue is when you're tempted to do the wrong thing and instead you do the right thing. Innocence is when you don't really have a clue, okay? You just did, what's that? And you and I are bent in the wrong direction. Adam and Eve were not, and they made an absolutely free choice, and they chose death. They chose sin. They chose disobedience. So, sin is not something God created. It is something that God allowed for. He made it possible for us to sin. But that doesn't mean God caused us to sin. It means that one of the possibilities was that we would sin. Now, guess what? God still doesn't make us sin. Well, I'm just thinking if God knows everything, he should have seen that one coming. He did. And that's why the Bible refers to Jesus as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God already knew exactly what was going to happen. And he already knew that Jesus would not only be the one through whom everything was created, and for whom everything was created, but by whom creation would be redeemed. Jesus, from the start, was God's provision for our salvation. And that is an absolutely magnificent thing that we cannot really readily wrap our minds around. It's hard for us to imagine. How could God, knowing what's going to happen, make provision for it, and then when that provision is going to be so costly? I mean, did God really not see it coming? No, of course he did. Well, then why would he let it happen? The Bible doesn't answer all of our questions. I certainly can't answer all the questions. But I can tell you this. God's plan is good. And his plan for your life is good and acceptable and perfect. That's what we read in Romans chapter 12. As you submit yourself to the Lord, offer your body as a living sacrifice to him, you will demonstrate through your obedience that God's plan for your life is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, God didn't create sin, but he did create a universe with a very special planet where there are some very special creatures called humans who reflect his image and his glory in a unique way. We're not just highly evolved slime. We're not just differentiated from the other species through chance. We are a unique creation of God, and you are a unique creation of God. But we are not in our original state. We're not as Adam and Eve were. Adam and Eve lived in innocence. They displayed the glory of God in such a way that they didn't even realize that they were naked. It was only after they sinned that they became conscious of themselves in a very unhealthy way. God created man to beautifully reflect his glory, and we have allowed that to be marred through the sin of Adam and Eve, which all of us have signed up with. All of us have sided with Adam and Eve. Nobody has come along and said, well, I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to sin. Except one person. Who's that? Jesus. Jesus was born sinless. He was born of a virgin. His father is God the Father. And when he was born, he lived an absolutely sinless life, because that's the only way that he could offer himself as the sacrifice for our sins. That's why he came into the world. That's why he was born, was so that he could take the punishment we deserve. So God didn't create sin, but God did send his Son to take away our sin, to take the punishment we deserve, and to remove not only our guilt, but also our bondage to sin. Whereas before we're born again, we're not capable of saying no to sin. We can try, we can say, I'm just not going to do that again, and then we do it again. We find ourselves enslaved by sin until we are born again, at which point we still have a tendency towards sin, a sin nature that we have to die to. We have to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ. But now the difference is, I'm not a slave anymore. I don't have to do that. I was a slave, now I'm not a slave. And so when my old master comes around and tries to tell me, you can't resist, go ahead, I'm able to say, you're a liar, get away from me, I'm going to do what Jesus says. As followers of Christ, we have the capacity to say no to sin. That is good news. And let me tell you, the devil will try and talk you out of it. The devil will try and persuade you that you can't resist, there's no way, you might as well give in. All people do this, you know. You'll hear testimonies from people who say, yes, I sin thousands of times a day. I don't have time to sin thousands of times a day, okay? Why do people say things like that? Because they think it sounds humble? Well, that is sin. Okay? They're lying and they're trying to fake a humility they don't have. The fact of the matter is, you and I need to repent when we sin. And we need to realize we didn't do that because we couldn't help it. We did it because we chose to. And so we need to ask God to forgive us and change us. And we need to do what He says.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Well, then what about angels? Well, angels existed before people were on the earth. And one of those angels, in fact, lost his place in heaven because of his rebellion against God. God had created the angels also with the capacity to choose. And the angel who was more beautiful than all the other angels, more magnificent than all the other angels, was Lucifer. And so he's the one who shows up in the garden presenting himself as a beautiful serpent. Now you say, beautiful, serpent, those two don't go together. Well, they used to have legs, okay? And that serpent in the garden was very, very nice looking. But the serpent was the manifestation of Lucifer, the fallen angel, who lost his place and rank in heaven and took, we believe, about a third of the angels with him in his rebellion. I appreciate the fact that apparently it was a third who went with him and two-thirds who did not, so they are outnumbered 2-1. But you know what? If he'd taken all the angels with him, if they'd all rebelled against God, God would still not be in trouble because the angels all have limited power. All of them, despite having great power, tremendous power, have limited power. It's finite. God's power, on the other hand, is infinite. The angels were all created by God with the capacity to choose to obey or disobey. God has always been. God didn't come into being at some point. He's always been. Now, I just can't understand that. Well, the reason you have a hard time understanding that is because everything else has a starting point. And so when you look and that's got a starting point and that's got a starting point and that's got a starting point and that's got a starting point, it seems like, well, then God must have a starting point too. No, He doesn't. He has always been. Well, how is that possible? Well, He's the creator of all the things that have a starting point, and that's why they have a starting point. Okay? He is unlike His creation in that God has always been. Everything else began. So, He made angels for the same reason He made the earth. He wanted to. It was His good pleasure. He made it for His glory. He made it for His pleasure. One person suggested years ago, and I like this quote, God created everything because He wanted to tell a story. And if you look at the history of the universe, God has indeed told a magnificent story. And that story has not yet been fully experienced by us, but the ending has most certainly been written by God. God has already declared how it's all going to turn out. And there isn't anything that Lucifer or anybody else can do in order to alter how it ends up. God has decreed it, and it will be as He decreed. Well, Pastor Wood, I mean, I've heard some of what you've said before and from you and from other people, but I just find it hard sometimes to believe that story. It just seems to me like a made-up story, people trying to come up with an answer for questions and make themselves feel better, because to face the fact that we are just lost in this universe and that it's all by chance, that would just be emotionally overwhelming. And that's why these religious stories are created, in order to try and help us feel better and feel more secure. I've had that question too. Not from one of you, not on this paper, but I would imagine some of you either have that question in your mind or will have at some point. So let me suggest to you that if you feel the Bible story is unlikely because it requires you to believe in God, then make a study of probability. Make a study of statistics. And then, having gained that education, try and figure out what would be the chances, what would be the likelihood of this universe coming into being and this planet having the properties that it does and life on this planet being as it is by chance. What would be the chances? What would be the likelihood? And if you've gotten a good education and you've learned about statistics and probability, one thing you will realize: there is no way at all that this is all by chance. You have to take a huge, blind leap of faith in order to believe that all this came about by chance. We are surrounded constantly by unmistakable evidence of design, that there is a creator, there is a designer. These things have happened on purpose. And so then you have to decide, okay, if I don't believe the Bible, but I believe there is some power out there that brought all this into being, how can I know more about that designer, about that creator? Say, well, no, it's very evident that he has shown us certain things in creation. Well, you're right about that. Romans 1 says that God has made it so that people are without excuse, because certain things about God's power and divine nature are evident just from creation, so that everybody on the planet, even if they've never heard of Jesus, knows enough to know that there's a God, that He has laws, and that we've broken them. Everybody knows that. There are people who say there is no such thing as absolute right and wrong, that it's all just a matter of culture and so forth. But it's the one story in human history that ties the pieces together and changes lives for the good, because it's true. God has spoken to us, not just in creation, but in His Word, and finally, in Jesus Christ. Do your homework, study probability, find out the likelihood of the Old Testament prophecies concerning Jesus being fulfilled in one man. I hope that when you consider what Scripture says, you'll realize this is true, and I need to believe it, and I need to yield my life to Him. Because, folks, that's the truth.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program, or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.